But yeah. I know, what a terrible thing. It's the 1st of May, and Star Wars Day is coming up on Friday. Star Wars Day. What's Friday?
4th.
Cinco de Mayo?
No, that's the next Saturday. But Friday is Star Wars Day. What day is it?
4th.
Oh.
May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. it took you guys a long time. Anyway, when is the final? Very good question. It's 2 weeks from today, right? No.
3 weeks.
3 weeks from today. It's May.
17th.
No, that can't be the 17th. Yeah, right, it is. May 17th. It is Thursday, May 17th. And we'll discuss the final in detail over the next couple of weeks. But it is cumulative. The final is cumulative, but it'll be general. And there'll be some questions, some calculations that may look familiar. And yes.
Are we allowed to bring like that?
I'll have the lectures, but you can bring the formula sheets. 2 pages of notes. Yeah, don't worry. They're the same questions that you've been dealing with for the last few weeks. Yes, but it'll be general.
Okay.
These are questions that you better understand, or I'm going to look really bad when you're sitting in a group of people who speak the language and they're going to say... Yeah, sure. If you have questions, please call and ask me. We'll do a baffle the broker, which is kind of like a review.
Yeah,
I answer your questions. What? You don't blame me for that. Just don't even give my name. But that's the best thing to do. So today we're going to continue. We're going to do shorting. We're going to finish up chapter 2. We're going to finish up on shorting. You're going to love shorting. And then we're going to start on our alternative... I can talk. Alternative... options in investing, and we have a decision to make. Also, baffle the broker. If you have any more questions, please give them those people who came in. But this today, we're going to finish up chapter 2 and start on alternative investments. We'll continue alternative investments on Thursday, and probably take a look at something that you've been doing all semester, not all semester, but since chapter 6, cash flow and internal rate of return, and we'll try to generalize it. So no matter what you go out and see, when you see cash coming in, you'll be able to say, oh, okay, how can I analyze that? Then the next Thursday, which will be the last class day, is Baffle the Broker. I've already got the presentation pretty well done. If you have any questions and more questions about finance, whatever, and I'll sneak some in. I sneak some in there on my own. But next Tuesday, we have a choice. That's the decision here. Next Tuesday, we have a choice. We're discussing margining and shorting and derivatives and high-powered things that I hope you never do, but people do them all the time. And there's a wonderful film called The Trillion Dollar Bet that discusses a company we've already made mention. Please listen, Alexis, please listen, and James. I need your decision-making abilities. After that, you can turn off. It's called The Trillion Dollar Bet, and it discusses a company called Long-Term Capital Management. Long-Term Capital Management in the 1990s started doing these really high-powered, they weren't the only ones, but they're the ones who were anointed as the best, derivative plays, so to speak, and almost brought down the entire system back in 1998. And you would have thought that we would have learned our lesson. I remember John Merriweather from the very first chapter, the best bond trader in the world, and he teamed up with two Nobel laureates in economics, and they screwed up royally. And who came to the rescue? The Federal Reserve Bank and the government. And it's like a prequel. It's like a Hobbit to the Lord of the Rings, if you've ever read those stories. You know, the Hobbit's like this big and Lord of the Rings is this big. And that's exactly what happened 10 years later with the housing debacle and the mortgage-backed securities that were based on the mortgages that were sold to people who were making $30,000 a year and said they were making $120,000 a year. And so it's a pretty good story. But it's a film. And it's, The other choice is to actually get into groups and analyze a couple of companies. And I'll bring in some documents and we can do that together. Now, sometimes it works well. Sometimes people just sit around and go, I don't know what to do because I've been clueless the entire semester. So I'm going to ask you what you want to do. Would you rather see the film, or would you rather do the analysis and get in groups and mark whether we want Coke or Pepsi or AT&T or Verizon or Costco? You can do both. I don't have time for both. So, how many people want to see the film, The $1 trillion Bet? Raise your hands. How many want to try to get into... Wait, come on, raise your hands high. Come on, I need to count. How many people wanted to get in... Oh, lots of you. Lots of you want to see the film. How many people want to get in groups and do analysis? So you don't like group projects. Yeah, okay, so the film, all right.
The movie it is.
Strange. It's interesting. I know people just don't want to work in groups. That's, we're told, you should get people to work more in groups. They don't want to. They don't want anything to do with the other students. And I don't blame you. I've had classes where I've worked in groups, and you know, there's always at least one or two people who just sit there and do nothing. And then one person who takes charge and usually screws up, and then there's somebody who's quiet who does a good job, and they're the ones who should have been the leader. And then the whole group gets in trouble. Anyway, my apologies. Okay, how are we doing? How are we doing? Wasn't it so much fun? We're up 10-12%. But Netflix has brought us down. Look at Coca. Good thing we didn't give up on Coca-Cola. And Google not doing much. And then, of course, Apple. GE, not bad. 6%. GE. Alcoa. All right. Also, question about the options. This is something that Rosa brought to my attention. I asked you to take a look at Procter & Gamble. This is a bonus assignment, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. Bonus assignment. And so about the assignments, this question is about the assignments. Make sure you do Chapter 18. If you do nothing else, I know it's part of your religion not to turn in the assignments. I don't know, you guys. No, some people just don't turn in any assignments. But if you could do any one, it's Chapter 18. It's brain damaged easy. It's so easy. But Chapter 15 for stock options is pretty easy. Just look up Procter & Gamble and Google the options 1 week, and then a week later look them up again and see how they change. But Rosa brought to my attention that there are two 6750s. And you don't have to choose. I wanted to do something close to the current price. And what's the difference? I don't know. Normally, options normally expire on the third, so this is for May, the third Friday. So this one, the second 6750, does expire the third Friday in May. But the other one expires, what, on this Thursday? May the 3rd? And that's unusual, because usually options expire on the 3rd. There might be something new that I'm not aware of. But you'll notice that the open interest here, there's 15,812 contracts that are currently in operation right now. But there's only 852 options here. So... contracts, 852 contracts. And I don't know if that's multiplied times 1,000 or not. Usually when you see the volume for stocks, it's multiplied by 1,000. So you see 67,000, it's actually 67 million. But I don't know if that's multiplied by 1,000. I don't keep that track of options. I don't do options. But I think that's an anomaly. That's just something that maybe, I don't know, volumes. Some of them, 7,000 sold today. So I don't really know. But use the one that has the more open interest, which is the one that expires, or use the one that expires on the third Friday. All right? And now we're ready to get started, but we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Nobody got a good joke? No? Okay, well, did I tell you about Microsoft joke? No? There's this woman who's been married three times before, and she finds a new man, and they fall in love, and they get married. And it's their wedding night. And she says to her husband, I know you're not going to believe me, but I'm still a virgin. And he says, what? You don't have to play this game with me. I know you were married three times before. She said, no, it's true. You have to believe me. So he says, all right, well, what happened with the first husband? She said, well, the first husband had a medical problem, and I wanted children, so that's why I divorced him. And he said, oh, what about the second husband? He said, well, the second husband, it turned out he was a homosexual. He wasn't interested in me. And I wanted children, so that's why I divorced him. And he says, oh, well, what about the third husband? He said, oh, the third husband was Bill Gates. And he said, so? He said, well, every night we would just sit on the bed and he would tell me how good it was going to be. And the husband said, well, I guess that makes sense. What would you expect from a guy who names his company Microsoft? You think they get better at the end of the semester? Is it because at the end of the semester they get better? You got it. Okay, good. Yeah, micro. Oh, yes. Yeah, I know. He just didn't think, did he? We went through margining and we saw that we can juice our returns. We can magnify our returns and our losses by borrowing money to invest. Well, you're going to love this, folks, because this is even more dangerous than buying on margin, and it's called shorting. And we have danced around this, so to speak, all semester long, and I kept saying, we'll get to it at the end of the semester, and here we are at the end of the semester. Long, buying long, going long. This is the transaction that you commonly think of when you buy a stock, right? It's a transaction in which investors buy securities in the hope they will increase in value and can be sold at a later date for profit. Isn't that what you think of when you buy a stock? You buy it at 10 and sell it for 20. This is the type of transaction that people commonly think of when they hear that someone bought stock. Buying long is the most common form of transaction. You have the expectation of dividends or capital appreciation or both. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to buy low and sell high. Have you heard that before?
No. Yeah.
Sound like a good plan? Right. Okay. Now, that's when you are long, when you're in the long position. The example is we buy one share of common stock for $20. The market price rises to $30, and you made $10 on a $20 investment, 50% increase. Of course, if the price dropped to $10, you lost half of your investment, 50% decrease. You got it? Now, you understand that. That's what you've been thinking about. Well, the other side of the coin, so to speak, is called selling short. So sometimes we say over here, I should have said, buying long, selling short, shorting the stock, going short, being in the short position. You sell borrowed securities.
What?
Yeah.
You don't
own the securities. You borrow them from somebody else.
Crazy.
I know. Doesn't it sound illegal? Yeah, wouldn't you love to sell your neighbor's house?
Yeah.
That's why we have title insurance, folks. Because that people have been doing that for millions, not millions, but hundreds of thousands of years. People have been trying to sell stuff that isn't theirs. This is legal? The first time I heard it, I was like, that doesn't sound legal. You buy, you entered into a contract with the brokerage firm. You're going to eventually buy them back. And you return them to the person you lent them. It's the opposite of buying long. You are hoping that the price goes down. You see, it doesn't matter. You're still trying to sell high and buy low. It's just you're doing it in the reverse order. It doesn't matter which way you do it. You can buy low and then sell high, or you can sell high and then buy low. Either way, you're going to make money, right?
Maybe.
Well, if it works, right. Right, if you buy it low and it goes lower, oh well. And if you sell it high and it goes higher, you understand? Remember the mirror on the options, call and the put? Same idea. There's a mirror right here, and everything is in reverse order. selling short must take place in a margin account. So we discussed margin accounts last Thursday, and you've already forgot about them. But you're going to review them because you need to understand this because you're taking Business 123, Introduction to Investments. And if you don't understand it, you're going to not look good, and that means I'm not going to look good. Since you are borrowing the stock from somebody in the brokerage firm, you need to set up a margin account. They are going to do a credit check. They are going to keep a close eye on you because if you run away, if you disappear, who's got to make good on the transaction? The firm, the broker firm. The brokerage firm has to make good on the transaction. Here's how it works. You borrow the stock from another shareholder. They don't know that you borrowed it. You know, it's all done by what we call the back office. It's done by the brokerage firm, and now it's all computerized. And you sell it on the market. You receive money for selling stocks that you do not own. You wait for the stock price to go down, sell high, buy low. You then buy the shares back at the lower price, and you pocket the difference. The shareholder you borrowed the shares from never knows that the shares were borrowed. The brokerage firm does all the financial sleight of hand. And if that stock pays dividends, who has to pay the dividends? You do. Because the shares are no longer there. They've been sold, right? So the firm is paying, the company, whatever company it is, say it's Procter & Gamble, they're paying dividends to the shareholders. Well, that shareholder doesn't own the shares anymore. They were sold. So the dividends were paid to somebody else. So you've got to pay the dividends for them. Yes?
Can you collect dividends on stock that you don't own? So, for example, the stock pays dividends, but you don't actually own it. Do you get to keep those dividends because you sold it short?
You sell them short. So you really do sell them, folks. They go out there into the world. Somebody else bought them. But in the brokerage firm, it's still with the guy who owned those shares. He or she looks at his statement and still says he owns 100 shares of Procter & Gamble. So what's going on? He says, hey, Procter & Gamble just paid a dividend. Give me my dividends. Well, who has to pay the dividends? Procter & Gamble pays dividends to somebody else because those shares are gone to somebody else. So you, the short seller, have to make good on those dividends. So no, you can only get dividends if you own the stock, and this guy thinks he owns it, and he really does because the brokerage firm is going to make good on it. If you run away, if you're the short seller and you disappear or whatever, the brokerage firm goes, oh, well, we got to do it. You understand? It's part of the agreement. That's why it's a margin account. They're going to do a credit check. They're going to make sure, you know, you're good for it. Doesn't it sound illegal?
But the person that holds the shares and they're receiving dividends,
they know
everything that's going on with it.
No, they don't know. Why should they? Let me ask you a question. What do you think the bank does with your money when you put it in? Do they sit on it?
No.
No, they lend it out. You understand? They lend it out. Yes.
If you sold someone's stock short and you haven't purchased the stock yet, but the owner of it decides they want to sell the stock in the meantime, do you have to immediately buy it at that point?
It depends on the brokerage firm. Normally, if it's a full-service broker or even the discount brokers, they will just go out and buy it for you. They will just say, oh, crap, we'll keep some on hand. Because you're right. You're absolutely right. And I know somebody who had that happen. He had shorted one of the home builders in, I forget, it was either TD Water Closet, which is now called TD Ameritrash, or Scottrade, TD Water Trade. It was one of the deep discount brokers, and they just don't give the same amount of service. So the shareholder sold his shares. And so the brokerage firm said, sorry, you're going to have to buy these back because the person sold their shares, so now we have to go out and buy them. To then deliver them to the person that he sold them to. So you understand? If you went to Merrill Lynch, no, they would just go buy some shares for you. But remember, you're paying $100 a trade or $70 a trade.
And also part of the reason why there's a three-day waiting period between when you sell stock and receive stock.
Probably. So they can take care of stuff like this. Probably, I don't know. I don't really know that answer. But I do know that many of the brokerage firms, the bigger ones, they keep their own inventories of stock, just in case. Just in case this happens. They'll have, you know, shares just so... It's all done by the back office. And to be truthful, I've never worked in a back office. I don't think I'd ever want to. I took accounting. I did take accounting, and I did get A's in accounting, believe it or not, hard to believe. But after I left my last accounting course, I said, I never want to do that forever. I never want to do that again unless they put a big stack of $20 bills in front of me. Now $100 bills. Okay, so you understand what's going on here, folks?
So the last statement there, you are the seller, right?
You are the short seller.
You took someone's shares without their knowledge. Right?
You borrowed them. You didn't take them. You borrowed them. You're going to pay. You're going to bring them back.
But when you pay the sellers have to pay the dividends. You have to pay it to the person who does it, who's unaware.
Right. It goes into their account from your account. Because remember, you have cash. There's a cash in your account, and so it comes out of your cash account, goes into their cash account. Yeah.
And then, wait, does that count like as a regular dividend? When they do their
It just counts as a regular dividend to them. It counts as an expense for you. You can write that off as an expense because it's an expense off of your income, but it's a credit. It's a deposit on their case. It's a dividend they have to pay him taxes on. Now here's how. Whoa! Jeez, I love this thing. Okay. Come on, sweetie. Okay, here's how it works. You borrow the shares from somebody today, and then you sell the shares in the market. Sometime in the future, you buy the shares back from the market, and you return the shares. If the price goes down, you make money. So normally we want the price to go up, right? That's what we're hoping for. No, when we sell short, we're hoping that the price goes down. If the price goes up, we're screwed. We're losing money if the price goes up. It's the opposite of buying long. Whoa, okay, we got to stop using this thing. Okay. Come on now, it's not even working. Okay, so here's the example. You sell a stock short for $20. So where's my brown? You sell this stock here at $20. Right? You receive $20 from the sale of the stock. Even though the stock was not yours, you borrowed it from somebody else. Now the price goes down to $10. Cool. You can buy it back at $10, and we say close out the transaction, and you give the stock back to the person, and they never know the difference.
Is there usually like a time, like a point where you have to buy it back?
That's a good question. There's theoretically no time, but what we're going to find out is that remember we saw the dreaded margin call last Thursday? Mm-hmm. If the stock starts going up, you will quickly get a margin call. And you will be, they'll come after you. They'll say, you've got to buy it back, and if you don't, we'll do it for you. In the late 90s, there was a very famous case. It was actually Schwab who was the broker, where a very wealthy Asian customer continued to short internet and technology stocks. This was while the NASDAQ went from 800 in 1995 to 2,000 in March of 2000. I'm sorry, 5,000. It jumped, a factor of what? 7 or 8 times in 5 years. And this guy, we say he got in front of the freight train and just said, these prices are outrageous, these prices are too high. So he shorted. He continually shorted these stocks like eBay and Microsoft and Dell and many of the that are truly gone, like drcoop.com and theglobe.com and everything.com and eToys and pets.com, and lost $178 million. He was too early. If he had just waited until 2000, he would have made $178 million. You understand? And I am surprised. I guess the guy must have been really, really wealthy, because I am really surprised that Schwab would let him lose that much. Because what if he had gone into bankruptcy?
Oh,
who would have had to have eaten, as we say, the cost? Schwab would have had to have eaten the cost. It's capitalism. Okay. All right. So you close out the transaction, and you get to keep the $10 difference. So congratulations, you just make $10 on a $0 investment. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right, right? You sell the shares at 20, and you buy them back at 10, you've made a $10 profit on a $0. No, no, it doesn't work that way. No. Right, no.
Yeah.
You cannot really make $10 on a $0 investment. It's a margin account, remember? You borrowed the stock that you sold. The rules for a margin account still apply. You must put up typically 50%. And you say 50% of what, right? Before, it was, you know, we bought the stock for $20. We put up $10 when we bought it long with a margin account. But here, we're selling the stock for $20. So you must put up 50% of what you borrowed. You borrowed the stock at $20. You've got to put up 50% of the proceeds from the sale of the borrowed stock. So, I know. It's easier to see the example than it is to explain the concept, which a lot of the math arithmetic we've done all semester is like that. Again, the brokerages, they use the accountant's balance sheet to keep track of the investor's margin. So we'll take a look at the accounting in a bit. It's really, once you see it, you go, oh, okay, I can do this. So let's say you now sell the stock short for $20 and things don't go as planned, right? I'm going to use red, I think. Is it red? Yeah, okay. Let's say the stock price zooms to $40. Now, normally, wouldn't we be sitting pretty? Wouldn't we be happy as the clams, they say, happy as clams? If we had a stock at $20 and it went up to $40, yippee! Wrong. Everything's in reverse. We wanted the stock price to go down. You received $20 from the sale of the stock, even though the stock was not yours. You borrowed it from somebody else. But now the stock price goes to $40. You must buy it back at $40. Remember, you borrowed it? You must replace it at some future date. You must buy it back. You lost $20 on your short transaction. Now, do you think this is going to be allowed? Nowhere near. No, you're going to get very quickly a margin call. They're not going to let you lose that much money unless you come up with more cash. Right? What? No, you don't, Maria? No, I didn't think so. Yeah, I'm not, you know, yeah, it's dangerous. Shorting is dangerous. When you buy long, folks, you can only lose the purchase price of the stock. If you bought the stock for 20 and it goes to zero, you lost $20. When it reaches zero, can you lose anything else? No. But when you sell short, there is no limit to the amount of money that you can lose. Because the stock can continue to go up, can it? There's no stop sign. $100, okay, can't go up any higher. And so theoretically, there's no limit to how much money you can lose when you sell short. Now, is that going to be allowed? No, you're going to get a margin call. The brokerage firm is going to say, you've lost too much, you're in danger of losing more, and we're not going to let you lose any more because we think you're going to give us a postcard from Puerto Rico or something like that. So we don't want you to lose any more because then we lose more. And there's a great saying, and I don't know if it's that great, but I like it. He who sells what isn't his'n must buy it back or go to prison. You like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's an old saying about shorting. But of course, we don't have debtors' prisons anymore, so don't worry, they're not going to put you in prison. Here's the formula for calculating the margin on short sales. If the stock was sold short at 20, you would have to deposit $10. Well, that's right? You borrowed something worth $20, so you got to deposit $10. Even though you received $20 from the sale, you still got to put up $10. To the brokerage firm. You got to bring $10 to the table. Even though you've received $20, it's in your cash account, you still have to bring 50% of what you borrowed. And then there's the formula, but we'll use the account balance sheet. And again, these are not going to be on the exam, but you will see them on the Series 7 if you want to become a stockbroker. So here's the example from page 49. You sell 100 shares of Texas Instruments at $30. And if you have one of the older books, they use Sears, I think. Yeah, they use Sears. So that's 100 shares at $30 a share. How much is that? 3,000. You're going to receive $3,000. You sold shares that weren't yours. You're going to have to come up with 50% of that, which is $1,500. So here's the balance sheet. We have our assets on the left-hand side and liabilities and account equity on the right-hand side. And Phil, you took the Series 7 a little while ago, right? Was it you? No, it was the other guy. I'm sorry. You're Victor. I'm sorry. Philip sits here, but he's not there anymore. I got to ask him, because I don't know if they're still doing it this way, because it's all computerized now. What did you get when you sold the shares, proceeds? 100 shares at $30 a share is $3,000. So that transaction has already been taken place, It will not change. That $3,000 went into your account. You're going to have to deposit initially 50%. So we put down $1,500, and our total assets are $4,500. Now, our short position is currently $3,000. That's 100 shares at $30 a share, because they haven't changed the price yet. And so our account equity is equal to $1,500. So our total liabilities and equity are $4,500. Now, in the previous presentation, when we looked at margining, it's this side of the balance sheet that changes. Well, everything's reversed, so we're going to find that this side is the side where things change as the price goes up and down. And the margin is equal to the account equity, as before, divided by the short position, which is over here, 3,000. So let's now, whoa! Should we try to use this thing? It worked. Now, let's say the stock price of TI falls to 20 bucks. That means we should use green because we've made money, even though the stock price went down. If the stock price now goes down to 20, how much is our short position now?
2,000.
Well, interesting. This doesn't change, right? We received the $3,000 from the sale of the Texas Instruments stock. We have an initial margin deposit of $1,500. So now our account equity goes up to $2,500. The stock price fell, and so our account equity goes up. And it's similar to the margining. It doesn't really have to fall that much for us to make serious change, because we've leveraged our position. We've borrowed half of what we've sold. The short position fell, the account equity rose. You made money because the stock price fell. Now, you know what's next, right? What's next? Well, what happens if Texas Instruments doesn't go down? What happens if the price rises to 40 bucks? And now we should use red, because even though the stock price went up, we've lost money. If the stock price actually went up to 40, what would be our short position?
$4,000.
So what would happen to our account equity? 500. Whoa. You take a look at the margin divided by the account. That should be 4,500. Sorry. And it's even worse than it is. What is it on the other side? What, I goof up? Oh, no, I'm sorry. So, yeah, no. It's divided by the short position. Right. So, we're in trouble. We got a margin call long before Texas Instruments rose to $40. We got a margin call long before that happened. Are you with me? Understand? So you can make money quickly when you short if the price goes down, or you can lose it very quickly if the price goes up. Questions, thoughts?
What's the typical, percentage where you'll get a margin call?
Well, it depends on your brokerage firm. The minimum they're allowed to do is 25%, but they can set it higher. They can look at you and say, we're going to set it to 35% or 40% for you. And they're allowed to do that. But the Federal Reserve Bank says it cannot be less than 25%. So here's the price. That's to answer your question. At what price are you going to get a margin call? So let's say, and this is from the book, I use the $20 because I like that. If you sold $100 short at $20, your proceeds are $2,000, you deposited $1,000, 50% of what you borrowed, and your company set a maintenance margin at 25%, the absolute minimum. Well, if you plug in all the numbers, it turns out the price only has to go up to 24 before you get a margin call. So this gets back to Sarah's question. How long will they wait? They're only going to wait until that stock goes up 20% before they say, you have a choice. You buy it back or bring more cash, and if you don't do it, we'll buy it back for you. And you, in the margin agreement, you agreed to that. No, you're going to lose money. If they wait long enough, if it keeps going up, they're going to lose money. If it go, because look, how much do you have left here?
We're
going
to buy that for you, and you're going to pay it.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's coming out of your hide because you still got $4,500 here sitting in your account. You received the $3,000 from the sale of the stock that you didn't own, and you came up with $1,500. So it's going to come out of your equity. It's going to come out of your cash. Make sense? Yeah. Okay. Now, let's do the problem. On the back of the handout, you all brought your handouts from last Thursday, right? It's chapter 2. Of course. And Southwestern, you know, we're going to have a 5% pay cut, and part of it is because of you. I have to make more copies. What? You're not the brightest student? You had to tell me that? Okay. So on Tuesday we did one, now we're going to do two. Problem two. Because Dewey Cheatham and Howe has been such a dog, you decide to try shorting the stock. It's currently selling for $10 per share. So let's erase this guy. Well, actually, let's do another one, huh? Let's do another one. It's currently selling for $10 a share, and you're going to sell 40 shares. Short, 40 shares. So let's take a look at our, I say 400? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 400. I meant 400. That's what I meant. Assets and equity and liabilities. So you have $10 a share at 400 shares. So you are going to get how much from the proceeds of that share? So $4,000. How much are you going to have to come up with?
$2,000.
Right. You're going to have to come up with your initial margin deposit of $2,000 because you have to... Right, you have to. You're borrowing $4,000, even though you received the cash from the transaction. You're still borrowing the shares, so you have to come up with 50%. So our total is $6,000. So now on the other side, before anything happens, we have the same $10 a share at. I'm sorry, I'm doing it there backwards. It should be 400 shares at sign, $10 a share. We have the same $4,000 over here. That's our short position, it's called. And then our account equity is $2,000. Now, what happens if the price falls to 17? What's going to happen? Normally, we would put this in red, because that means we... I'm sorry, the price... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm reading the wrong thing.
Number two,
B. If the price rises... I'm sorry, so normally we would, if the price rises, we would say green, but no, the price is going to rise. We're going to get in trouble because we have to buy it back. So 400 at 12 is...
4,800.
What happens to our equity?
So it's
1,200. You see where Gloria, where she got that? because the this side doesn't change. So our equity now goes down to $1,200. Does everybody see what happened?
Repeat.
Okay. We sold it short at $10 a share. We received $4,000. We had to come up with $2,000 because we have to come up with 50%. Now the price of DCH is going up and down, and it goes up to $12 because the market's always, you know, buying and selling. And so now our short position is 400 shares at $12 a share. If we were to buy it back right now, how much cash do we need? $4,800. So our account equity drops. We've lost money. You're absolutely right. But what's our margin? We take the equity position divided by the short position. Where are we? 1,200 divided by 4,800. Where are we? 1,200 divided by 4,800. Come on, you gotta get the calculators. 25%. So what happened? We're gonna get a margin call. Because the brokerage firm is against So now, how much have we lost? Lost $800. Are you with me? Understand?
1,200
is
because
okay. See, we had $2,000 here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now we owe, when we buy these things back, we're going to have to pay $400. So our account equity has fallen.
So that goes down, that goes up. All
right. Right, this goes up, that goes down. Right. Divided by, right, exactly. 1,200 divided by
the
value of the security, which is $4,800.
Yeah, it's all caused by the increase of the price.
It's caused by the increase of the price, where normally we would be happy, yippee, the price went up. No, we've got to buy it back at this price.
No,
because it went up. Normally, when we go along and the price goes up, everybody's happy and dancing around. So you understand the short sellers are trying to see the price go down.
For sure.
The people who are short. Exactly. And you can, as we saw, it's a margin account, so it magnifies your gains when it falls. And that's why. Okay, so you understand, this is not going to be on the exam.
Yeah.
It will be on the Series 7, and this is one of the things that drives people nuts because everything's in reverse. That's up. Okay, now, let's get back to the presentation. And as you were saying, when the price goes down and when the crash, everybody's happy. And this is what we call a short squeeze. Short sellers tend to be very short-term oriented. They tend to be traders, momentum traders, speculators, whatever you want. And they tend to pile on. If they see the prices start to fall, in fact, there was a question like that in the and the baffle the broker that we'll see next week.
Let me get straight. The short sellers, those are the guys who wear the white jackets at Wall
Street. No. Short sellers look like you and I. They look like you and me. They're just regular people. But they are hoping that the price goes down. And they tend to be more short-term oriented. Speculators, traders. They also tend to be speculation and trading when the price goes up. You know, they're trying to buy low, sell high. But they also, when they see the price go down, they want to sell high, buy low. They just, not always, but they tend to be more short-term oriented, traders, as we say, speculators. And there's somehow considered, I don't know if you remember one of the strategies, the short selling strategy, short sellers are supposed to be more knowledgeable of what's going on. I don't know where they get the research from that, but I don't think it's true. And so when prices start to fall, you will often see them plummet because the short sellers start piling on and seeing how much they can knock the price down. Are you with me? Understand? And this is why if you see the market, sometimes you'll see this, it's going along and bang! It just has a huge drop. because the short sellers start piling on. It used to be, not anymore, but it used to be that you could only short when the price was going up. You had to short on an uptick. That was the only time you could short. Because if you look at it, just think about it. If you can short and short and short and short and short, what you're doing is when you're shorting, you're actually creating more shares. Just like a bank, when it lends out money, they're creating more money. And so there's a bigger supply. If you don't change the demand, then what happens to the price, you economics students? It goes down. So it used to be that they never allowed this to happen. And there are people who are screaming and hollering and saying we should bring it back. The problem is technology. The transactions happen in milliseconds now, so how do you know when there's an uptick? How do you know when there's a downtick? So there are problems. But still, you'll see the price plummet. But wait a minute, what do we know about selling short? You sell it high, eventually you're going to have to buy it back, whether it goes up or down. And so what we call this is a short squeeze. When the market is going down, momentum investors, speculators, traders, I hate to use the word investors with momentum in the same, like, jumbo shrimp. But these people will often short stocks to try to take advantage of the down momentum. And that pushes the market down even further. But eventually, the short shares must be all repurchased. The subsequent up movement of the market is often dramatic as short sellers cover their position. Are you with me? Understand? They've got to buy the shares back. And so as soon as there's an uptick, as soon as the price gets low enough, so the long buyers say, hey, that's a darn good price. I'm going to get in there. Then the short sellers are, uh-oh, we got to buy it back. And boom, you see this subsequent upswing. And we'll take a look at the short interest. That's the amount of stock shares that have been sold short. We'll take a look at a couple of companies. In August of 2002, it was a tough time, folks. And one of the other brokers where I was working then said, oh, short interest is the highest it's ever been on the New York Stock Exchange. And I thought, that feels good. Because that meant to me, I didn't mean I was right, but it happened, and then in August, it happened in October. The bottom hit October. That gave me great comfort because it meant to me that the market downturn was close to an end, and it happened to be. So let's take a look at some short... let's take a look. It's in the key statistics. So we're looking at Procter & Gamble. Let's take a look at the short interest for Procter & Gamble. So here are the shares outstanding. 2.84 billion shares are being sold of Procter & Gamble. And the short, currently, the sales short are 15 million, which is 0.5%. So what do you think? Do you think investors think Procter & Gamble is going to go down? No. Investors are very wary, speculators, are very wary to short Procter & Gamble because they think it's going to go up. They think it's going to be around. Now, who do we think is going to go down these days? I thought you'd pick that. I was just the one I was going to pick. Let's see what the short sellers are saying about Netflix. And what we see here... is there are 55 million shares outstanding and 10 million of them are short. In other words, there are 18.7% of the shares out there are short. And notice that just last month there were 9 million. So you think investors are betting that Netflix, not investors, we should say speculators, are investing that are thinking that Netflix is going to go down. But wait. All those 10 million shares have to be repurchased. You understand? So, if we could just extend the semester a little bit longer, maybe our Netflix shares will come back. You understand? So, if Netflix next quarter all of a sudden says, hey, we just added new 500,000, I don't think it's going to happen personally, but you're talking to the wrong person because I don't like movies, I don't watch movies. But, I like movies that nobody else likes.
Old movies?
No, some of them are old, some of them are new. Have you ever seen one of my favorite movies was the Stuntman. Okay. 30 seconds. They made it in Coronado, Illinois. 30 seconds. I can tell exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, who's going to happen to. And my wife is watching a movie. I'll say, he's going to die right now. They're going to shoot him right now. She goes, what are you talking about? He's going to get killed. You watch.
Oh,
and he gets killed. Yeah, and she goes, how did you know that? I said, because it's a formula. She's going to take off her bra right now. That's going to happen. You know, that's movies. That's the way they are. She goes, I hate that. And then when I like a movie where you can't tell, and that's the stuntman, you cannot tell what's going on. You think maybe he's the good guy, maybe he's the bad guy, maybe he's the good guy. Maybe he's the
bad guy.
I don't like scary movies either. I don't like scary movies. So you understand? So maybe this is a good sign for Netflix. Are you with me? Would you buy Netflix now? Wait, no, Corey says no. Neither would I. But I don't understand the movie industry. If you understand the movie industry, maybe you'd buy Netflix. Now, there used to be a valid reason for shorting a stock. I say used to be because it's not valid anymore. It was called shorting against the box. And I don't know where they got the name from, but that's what it was called. You shorted stock that you already owned. Huh? Why would you short stock you already owned? Well, it allows you to sell the stock without creating a taxable transaction until you closed out the transaction with your own stock. So let's say it's December, and you want to sell these shares. You want to get the money. But if you sell them before December 31st, you got to pay taxes on them. The IRS says, come on, dame, you know, give me the money. So if you sell them short, you receive the money, and then you wait until January, and then you deliver the shares, right? Because you have to buy them back, but you already own them, so you just deliver them. IRS said, no more. Exactly, no more of this. They closed that loophole in 1997. So my advice is never short a stock. Peter Lynch, in his book, One Up on Wall Street, says you should never sell a stock. And who am I to argue with Peter Lynch? And fundamentally, I'm just against it because it means you're hoping that somebody does bad. I'm the kind of person, I want all companies to do well. Which, of course, can't happen, but that's me. In 2004 and 5, I was telling anybody around me, and I was even talking to my boss about doing it, because I don't have a margin account. I really wanted to short GM. And I was right? Eventually, whatever price I would have paid, I would have gotten the whole amount, because eventually it became worthless. But I never did it. I was the one stock I wanted to short, was GM. Because I hate Hummers. I don't know about you, I hate uh-ohs. Tahoes. Yeah, right. I just think, and I knew they were going to get their comeuppance. I just knew it. I knew you got the next downtrend to come. You're going to get screwed. But I never shorted it. Tahoes. And so, last chance. Who wants to be a stockbroker? Who wants to get in the industry? Come on, let's see your hands up.
That's too much.
No, it's all electronic now. First of all, if you're a stockbroker, you don't do that. No, that's the people on Wall Street. They don't even yell at each other anymore. They're just typing on a computer.
Each other.
Yeah, they email hatred back and forth. No, you're dealing with people. And so we've seen this slide before. They're going to do a background check, no shenanigans. You must take the Series 7 66. They're tough. Series 7 is tough, 66 is easy. But it's not impossible, providing you do about 2 months of studying, 1 to 2 hours a day. Just got to do repetition. Sponsored by a brokerage firm with this, your spiffy resume, your good-looking suit, you know, spiffy up your face, and then bring Business 123 syllabus, too, to the job fair and show them what you've learned in this class. You could get a broker's assistant job. I've had students do it, or internship, or broker's aide, and that's chapter two. Okay? All right, great.
Push.
Now, next one, let's do... I don't think we have enough time for either of these, but we have enough time for this one. What? What did he say? Let's do golden art. I'll take five. No, let's get through the count types. Oh, real estate. Let's do real estate. No, where's real estate? There it is. Let's do real estate. It's 17, right? It's 18. Let's do it real fast.